In thinking about my message for this week, I had planned to preach on accountability, and told my wife that I was going to do that as well, and have been working on that. Last night, when I got back from my grandparents or my grandfather's 90th birthday, we went up to Pier and spent a few hours up there and had a wonderful time celebrating that. I just felt like, you know what, that's really not the sermon God wants me to preach today. And so I began to pray and ask God for direction. And He laid on my heart this message, and I really hope it's an encouragement to you. It was an encouragement to me. But sometimes we, in our walk, need some encouragement in our faith. We need to see that God is still working today. It's not just something He did 2,000 years ago. In 1 Samuel 23:16, it says, "Then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God." Sometimes we need encouragement in our faith. Isaiah 35 says, "Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong and do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with recompense of God. He will come and save you." And Hebrews 12 says, "Therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed." God wants us to be encouraged in our faith from time to time. And sometimes we need to see that God is still working. And so I put together this message for you. I believe it's from God. And I'm very excited for you to receive it. What I want to do real quickly, though, is look at the Apostle Thomas. Now, we know of Thomas as Doubting Thomas because of an act that happened after Jesus' death. But Thomas was not always Doubting Thomas. In John 11, 5 through 16, it says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. And then after this, he said to the disciples, 'Let us go to Judea again.' And the disciples said to him, 'Rabbi, lately the Jews have sought to stone you, and you are going there again?' And Jesus answered, 'Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him.' These things he said, and after that he said to them, 'Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up.' And then his disciples said, 'Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well.' However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him.' And then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, 'Let us also go that we may die with him.'" You see, the Jews were becoming very, very much angry with Jesus and what he was doing and becoming more influential. And they were working to find a way to get rid of him, to kill him. And so several times throughout the Gospels, we see that Jesus has to leave, to leave the presence of the Jewish people or the Pharisees or the different situation because they are scheming to have him killed. And so Thomas says, "Hey, I am willing to go with you and to die with you." Now that doesn't sound like doubt to me. That sounds like great faith, great courage. And indeed, it is an expression of great courage and great faith. And I imagine at different times in your life you've had moments of great faith. Maybe even here, sitting in this pew, you've had times when the Holy Spirit has laid on your heart a message of hope, and you've trusted that, and you've had great faith. And maybe you've even committed to live your life according to God's word, no matter what comes. But each one of us experiences from time to time different crises. And those crises test our faith. They put it through the fire, so to speak, to see what is really there. And we see this happen to the disciples as well on the night that Jesus was arrested. In Matthew 26, it says, "But Jesus said to him," speaking of Judas, "Friend, why have you come?" And they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck off the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, "Put your sword in its place, for all who take of the sword will perish by this sword. Or do you think that I cannot pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus?" In that hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, "Have you come out against us as a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me. But all of this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." And then all the disciples forsook him and fled. That great faith that Thomas had. "Let's go die together." When they seen that Jesus really was going to his death, they peeled out of there pretty quickly. Each one of us can testify to times in our lives where we've had a crisis of faith. Sometimes it's a loss of a very close relative or friend. Maybe it's just the grind of time and the grind of living in this world and seeing all the pain and suffering that people go through. In different ways, we each have tests of our faith. But we also see this great story of Thomas's faith restored. In John chapter 20, when Jesus, after he had been resurrected, he appears to the 12. It says, "Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' And so he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and put my hand in his side, I will not believe.' And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. And Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, 'Peace to you.' And then he said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger here, and look at my hands. And reach your hand here, and put it in my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believing.' And Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' And Jesus said to him, 'Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.' And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Do not be unbelieving, but believing. You know, it's interesting. Jesus did so many miracles in the presence of the disciples. And yet, after Jesus died, what did Thomas say? "I don't believe it. I don't believe it unless I see it with my own eyes." And sometimes today we can adopt this idea of Christianity that, I don't know if all that's really real or not, but as long as I'm a good person, as long as I go to church, as long as I do this or do that, it'll all work out in the end. And that's not what Christ has called us for. He said, do not be unbelieving, but believing. That means believe in the works of Jesus. Believe in the miracles of Christ. He even said to them at one point, even if you do not believe me and my testimony, at least believe the works that I do and have faith in me. God is still doing miracles today. Today, God is still doing miracles. And it is a testimony that we need to open our hearts, like the song that we sang. Open our hearts and believe. And believing, have faith in His name, so that we can have the eternal life that He desires. But not just eternal life, a present life full of joy and peace that comes from knowing the Savior. Now, we might want God to do a miracle in our life. And we might not see God's miracle in our life. But I'm telling you this, God does not owe us a miracle. He does not owe us a sign. He does not owe us anything. But He does give them freely. And many people who ask do receive. And God is very good. Sometimes His ways are not our ways. And so we question that. But I'm going to show you some videos today, and I hope it's an encouragement to you to see that God is still working miracles today, and that you can trust Him, that prayer does work, that God has not forgotten about us. He is very much alive and doing the things that He has called us to do and working in our lives. He sends angels into our presence. Oftentimes we do not even know. So I want to share with you some videos here, and I hope you are greatly encouraged. Go ahead, Matt.
Oh, this story really shakes you up. So if you're a parent, bearing a child is your absolute worst nightmare. But over in the Philippines, a true miracle happened to a toddler and her family.
The three-year-old girl was being prepared for burial when she began to move inside her coffin. A neighbor of the family had opened the girl's coffin to adjust the body when he noticed a slight movement of her head. The girl was apparently pronounced dead 2 days earlier. Video footage posted online shows the ceremony erupting in chaos as a man and woman, identified by the Philippine Star as the girl's parents, pick her up out of the casket and wrap her in blankets. Parents said the girl had, quote, severe fever for days, so they took her to a medical clinic on Friday, where she was pronounced dead early the next morning. After the funeral incident, the little girl was doing well enough to go home after some tests were done.
Happened in Holmes County at a funeral home in Lexington. 16 WAPT's Tammy Estwick explains how family members say he came back to life.
The story is spreading like wildfire, how Walter Williams woke up from the dead in Holmes County.
I asked the coroner what happened. He said, oh, they can call it a miracle.
I stood there and watched them put him in a body bag and zipped it up.
The coroner says he checked the pulse around 9 o'clock Wednesday night and pronounced Williams dead at his home in Lexington with no heartbeat.
That was 10:30, and at 2:30, my cousin called me and said, not yet. I said, what you mean, not yet? He said, Dad is still here.
After the coroner helped move Williams to Porter and Son's funeral home, workers were getting ready to embalm him. But that's when he started to move.
He was not dead, long story short.
Byron Porter says it's the first time he's ever seen anything like it. A man inside a body bag kicking to get out.
So he missed it by how much?
I don't know.
A couple of minutes maybe?
No, no, no. more than that, maybe. But we definitely was not going to do anything to him. And
once you saw that he was
right,
that
he was not deceased. Right.
Paramedics rushed Williams to the hospital, where tonight family members say they're happy he's alive.
Now, I don't know how long he's going to be here, but I know he's back right now. And that's all we're counting.
In Lexington, Tammy Eswick, 16.
Sam, stay strong and fight hard.
An incredible story. Family and friends calling it a miracle. A 21-year-old U of A student wakes up from a coma after doctors nearly declared him brain dead. ABC 15's Susan Casper talked with the survivor and shows us his long road to recovery.
You're looking at a picture of 21-year-old Sam Schmid with injuries so bad, doctors nearly considered him brain dead.
I said, Sam, stay strong and fight hard.
Sam's mom, Susan, stood by his side after a five-car collision in Tucson caused a brain aneurysm back in October.
We really gave him a very, very minimal chance for survival.
Sam was flown to Barrow Neurological, where Dr. Robert Spetzler tried to keep Sam alive. But after a week in a coma, there was talk of taking him off life support, and discussions about organ donation were underway.
In medicine, we see things that always the exception to the rule, and fortunately he was one.
After nearly 2 weeks in a coma, Sam miraculously woke up.
I've been called a miracle a few times. It makes me feel better.
He has trouble forming sentences and needs help while walking, but is making big strides towards recovery.
It was a miracle.
Except for the rehabilitation that I still have to do. Feel pretty good.
Doctors tell us he has a long way to go, but that won't stop Sam, who already is looking to life after the hospital.
Stuff in my bedroom would be nice, but the school or work would also be something I'm looking forward to.
Perhaps it's perfect timing. Sam gets a one-day pass to leave Barrow and spend Christmas with his family. They tell us calling that a miracle doesn't seem to do it justice. In Phoenix, Susan Casper, ABC 15 News.
This next story is something a Dayton area doctor says he has never seen, and the man's family gives all the credit to God. Tony Yali was suffering from irregular breathing at home. His family did CPR and eventually took him to the hospital. Doctors say Yali coded for 45 minutes. A team of medical personnel tried to stimulate his heart, but no luck. A doctor declared Yali dead the afternoon of August 5th. Then, suddenly, as nurses were ready to let the family view his body, Yali showed signs of life.
You know, then everybody started telling me how it happened, and you know, that's when I started to understand, you know, a miracle happened.
I pointed at him and I said, "Dad, you're not going to die today." And I stood there for about a few more seconds, and I was about to walk back to, you know, comfort the family.
And that's when Tony Yali's heart started beating. His cardiologist says this is beyond rare.
But in the last 20 years, I've never seen anybody who we have pronounced dead. And actually, the patient we saw, there was no activity when we stopped doing all our efforts. And then for him to come back, I've never seen it. Actually, I've never heard of it.
It's been the topic of discussion in medical circles, but Tony Yali says there was only one factor at work.
It definitely strengthened my faith, my family's faith, everybody I know's faith. You know, and like I've said, you know, if it strengthened everybody's faith, I'll take the lumps for it, you know.
Yali was unconscious for 5 days, but doctors sent him home from the hospital last Thursday. Says he feels just fine.
What a profound experience.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. It is.
Wouldn't you
amazing.
Like to talk to that man, yes. Just in general, just yes. Sit and just sit at a table and find out his thoughts about this? That'd be rather interesting.
Life-changing for him, maybe for you.
Dramatic video of a tornado hitting this hardware store in Louisiana last week. A FedEx driver tried to take shelter inside. The door was locked, so she hid behind a soda machine. It fell over. Look at that. My goodness, when the tornado destroyed the entire store, incredibly, she was not injured. She walked away without a scratch.
To be alive today, I mean, I'm thankful.
David Sagona walked away able to tell his story. He owns Sagona's Hardware in Pankerville. For your reference, this is what it used to look like. Now, it's this, just a mangled mesh of metal. Sagona made all his employees get in the bathrooms and upstairs in the offices, and seconds later,
as I was closing the door to the bathroom, my side wall got sucked out. I actually saw the side wall get sucked out.
This weekend, Sagona attempted to check his security cameras and if they happened to catch anything. This is what he found. Now watch it again. Notice this lady come up to the doors, pull on them, and they're locked. You see debris beginning to fly, and seconds later, what looks like a big explosion. Kyra Johnson is that woman. She had just made her FedEx deliveries to Sagona's from the back door. She came out and looked up.
I've never seen the sky swirl so pretty, and it was gray, but it was scary. So first thing you think, let me tape it. I want to show people.
This is the video she recorded. You can clearly see the tornado, but Johnson says she was so tunnel vision that she never noticed it. Exactly 2 minutes later, it was right over her.
I just braced myself right here between the Coke machine. It wasn't even a holding on. It was just to brace myself.
That Coke machine fell over, and there really are no words to put to this video. How did she survive?
God. There's no explaining that, God, because after I seen the video, I didn't know what it really looked like. I just figured I was in a tornado. And
Sagona did not know Johnson prior to this. Now he says God truly had her in his hands.
I got this made for you.
God had us in his hands the whole time.
Creating a bond they will never forget.
Oh,
it's yours.
Baby, okay. I love you. I'll never forget you.
You will always be part of our family.
You're always a mine too.
In Pankerville, Kieran Chawla, WAFB 9 News.
Lord, the blood. I plead the blood over you. Satan, you a lie. Jesus, 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 the blood of Jesus. Satan, you a lie. The blood of Jesus. 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 The blood of Jesus.
A Jeep completely up in flames on the Ridgeway exit off 385.
Everybody just started going in their car against us. The busted windows. I would say, we got to get this man out of this car.
Witnesses say the Jeep was driving eastbound on 385 when he was sideswiped by another car, pushing him down a hill and into this pole. Moments later, flames came through the hood of the car.
Find anything but a gallon of water. So I went back and tried to wet him so if the fire got inside the car, maybe it wouldn't burn him as bad or keep him as moist as he could possibly be.
They tried to find a fire extinguisher, but were unsuccessful. Moments later, a man ran over with a jackiron and broke through the window.
We gotta cut that seatbelt. Somebody gonna find something. Cut the seatbelt.
The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. 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 The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The devil, you are alive. Jesus. 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 Jesus, 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 the blood of Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Jesus, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Stay your blood, Jesus. Stay your blood. Let the seat back. Let the seat back. Let the seat back. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
He appeared to have been completely trapped in the driver's seat because the steering wheel was pressed up against him in the chest.
The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, 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 God, Jesus. The blood of Jesus. They got him, they got him, they got him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Witnesses carried the man to safety, and moments later, loud popping noises came from the car, a noise they say they won't forget. The driver was taken to Regional 1 in non-critical condition, but a sight that brought tears to many was this Bible, the only thing left in a completely burned up vehicle sitting on the front seat.
So that is God. So if you don't believe, I don't know what to say.
That's
baffling and beautiful rescue, raising questions about the power of prayer. People are scouring nearly 70 photographs looking for some sign of a man they swear they saw at the scene of a car accident. He prayed, a life was saved. So why did he disappear even from the photos? ABC's David Muir now on Faith and a Mystery tonight.
Tonight it's being called the Missouri Miracle. Much of it, though, still a mystery. A teenager with a beautiful smile, 19-year-old Katie Lentz, trapped in her mangled car, hit by a drunk driver, and first responders trying to get her out. Sheriff's Deputy Richard Adair won't forget when the fire chief turned to him in despair.
He was concerned because he was out of options. The tools weren't working, and it was, by that time, like I said, almost an hour. He said, I don't know how we're going to get her out. And I said, Raymond, I promised her mother and her that we'd get her out.
While inside that car, Katie had one request, to pray with the rescuers out loud. And then suddenly, right there amidst the rows of corn, at the scene blocked off for nearly a mile, a man appears.
He was dressed in a black priest shirt with a white collar.
And the rescuers noticed something else. He was carrying a small bottle.
He had a small little white container of anointment oil is what it appeared to be.
And he asked if he could anoint the girl in the car. And at first, my first thought was that it would possibly send the wrong message to Katie, that maybe we had called a priest.
But they allow him to do it.
A sense of calmness come over her then, even more so than what she had been already. I can't be for certain who said or how it was said or where it come from. We very plainly heard that we should remain calm, that our tools would now work, and that we would get her out of that vehicle.
Moments later, it happened. A neighboring fire department arrives with a new set of stronger tools, finally able to cut through that frame. They all turn to thank the priest, but he was gone. In fact, in all of those photos at the scene, no sign of the priest. And tonight, family and friends are grateful.
Whether it was just a priest as an angel, serving as an angel, or an actual angel that came in, he was an angel to all those and to Katie.
The fire department's Facebook page tonight filling up fast. Do any of the responders know who the priest was that seemingly appeared out of nowhere? I would love to shake his hand. And tonight from Katie's mother, a message too. Very pleased that Katie's near tragic accident provides proof to all that miracles still happen. Her mother adding, please continue to pray for her. And in Katie's words, pray out loud.
Pray out loud. And today we reached out to 15 churches within 30 miles of that accident scene. No one could tell us who the man was. And as for Katie, 6.5 hours of surgery, many broken bones, but her mother says her face and that beautiful smile untouched. But Diane, everyone at that rescue scene touched by that stranger.
And dozens of people saw him, and yet nothing in the photographs.
Nothing. Just the story of that white bottle.
What an amazing story.
Did a supernatural being do something? That's what makes something a miracle. It's not, can you come up with a scientific explanation? It's did God actually do something in this person's life?
One case is a young man named Chris Gunderson from the Portland, Oregon area. From birth, he suffered from chronic pseudo-obstruction syndrome, which paralyzed his intestines, so he could never digest food. He would get water and nutrients into his body from tubes. When he was 16 years old, Chris says his parents brought him to a church service where a man prayed over him.
Halfway through the prayer, I felt a shock go from my right shoulder and down through my chest, into like my stomach, and it felt like God was jump-starting my stomach back up. And right then and there, it was healed.
Chris's doctors were baffled. His condition had no cure.
You were driving from Washington State to Idaho. As we said, it was a very foggy morning when suddenly you saw a truck jackknifed on the highway in front of you. Then what happened?
Oh, man. I think I just had to gasp. I mean, when you're going downhill, as soon as he jackknifed, I shifted down and pushed my brakes. But being on black ice, there's no chance. I mean, what can you do? And so I tried to somewhat steer to the right side of the road, and I ended up hitting the trailer. right at the back corner, so it smashed my front end in, and when I hit, it shut my pickup off, so I was pretty much helpless there. And as soon as that came to a stop, I looked out my passenger window on my right side and saw semi-lights coming towards me.
And when you saw those lights coming towards you, did you say a prayer? Are you a man of faith? Are you a man of faith now? What did you do? Because I always wonder about that. When you see this flash before your eyes, what is your thought?
The first thing is hopefully you're okay, and then you look over and you see the lights, and I turned right back, closed my eyes, and said a prayer that I'd be safe, and I do believe, and I'm very firm in that, and I just held onto the wheel as tight as I could, tucked my head, and just kept praying the whole time.
Caleb.
And, I mean, after he hit, I just hoped that it would be over with soon.
What happened that compressed it like that? Like, what were you able to figure out about what was happening to the truck to accordion it like that?
So when I hit, it sent me broadside facing my passenger side towards oncoming traffic. When the second truck hit my back end, it spun my bed underneath the first trailer that I hit and continued to swing my nose around and I guess put my nose underneath the second trailer. And as that trailer came around, it just kind of pushed me down and further into that small V where you can actually see both of the trailers within arm's reach on both sides. And so, I mean, if there would have been even a foot, if that would have pushed me even more of a foot, it probably would have crushed me.
Caleb, how long were you trapped in that spot?
Before I was able to get out, it was only about a half hour, which was good because time does not fly when you're in situations like that. It was very slow waiting to get out.
Well, I know first responders, when they come on a scene like this, their first concern is, if we pull this apart, is the guy going to come apart? And the fact that you came out of this, I mean, did you walk out of there under your own power?
Yes, very much so.
My
so
word.
So now the million zillion dollar question. Why did you make it out of there, Caleb? You know that that's not what's supposed to happen. So who do you thank? What do you thank? And what do you think it means for you and what your life is about?
I thank my Heavenly Father. I don't have the answers. And if I had the answers, I probably wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now. When things like that happen, and what I've kind of come to realize is that it is a miracle and that I need to take that into my life and remember it. And now I need to kind of figure out who I need to be in this life and what things I need to accomplish, because how many people don't get a chance, a second chance at escaping us?
Remarkable story of survival. Rescuers saving an 18-month-old who was found hanging upside down in her car seat for 14 hours after her mother flipped their car into a river in northern Utah. It all happened last March, but it was a mysterious cry for help that led rescuers to her.
Get over here, Beddoes. We're helping. We're coming. There, get down here and re-enter and flip it.
One of those officers, Tyler Beddoes, believed the cry for help was an angel. You guys get a call and you're heading to the scene and you've flipped on your body cameras. That's the images that we've been able to see.
Correct.
And what do you hear?
So when we get to the scene, this car's upside down in the Spanish Fork River. It's a cold day, icy river. It's flowing through the car, and as we get down into the river, not knowing exactly who's inside or what, because it's so smashed. And when we get down into the car is when we hear a voice saying, "Help me, help me." So that's when we really, you know, it amped up our extra motivation to get inside.
What did the voice sound like?
It was an adult woman's voice, a calming voice. You know,
but there was no adult in the car, though, that was living, right?
Right. And so that's what we found. At the time, we thought, sure, there's an adult in here. And so we actually got together, pushed the car into its side, and that's when we saw the mom had been deceased for hours.
And Officer Beddoes, you weren't the only one who heard that voice.
No, there was four officers on scene. All four of us heard the voice.
What about for people who say, you know, I don't believe in angels. There's no way this story happened. There has to be some other explanation. What would you tell them?
It's tough because my faith was kind of in the dumps at that time, too. And so, I mean, the feelings I got, and when we flipped the car over, there was no other explanation for it other than an angel. I mean, there's nobody else there.
And you say the little girl made a full recovery?
Yes, she's fantastic. She's full recovery, just like a normal 2-year-old, no side effects.
And how has your faith been transformed by this experience? You say that you are in a dark place. What do you mean?
I was in a dark spot due to some bad calls I had had the previous 2 years.
Like what?
I had a quadruple homicide I helped investigate with some children.
A quadruple homicide?
Yeah, where a dad had murdered his wife, mother-in-law, and two children. And that really, that tested my faith. To see these children that were similar to my two children's age murdered was tough for me. And so started to doubt my faith. And then when this came around, it really changed everything for me.
How has it strengthened your relationship with God, you say?
It's really, I mean, it's just, I wondered why I ever doubted him. I mean, to see, now I've just started looking at the beauty around the positive impacts. To see this little girl survive after 14 hours in a freezing cold car. Her mom was dead, so she's by herself. That breaks my heart. And that was really what really just transformed my faith.
You know, some people will say miracles don't happen. And that's just not true. Miracles happen all the time. I've experienced miracles in my own life. I'm sure many of us here have experienced those things. And so then it comes back to the question of, or really the command of Jesus, do not be unbelieving, but believing. Open up your heart. And even right now you can say, Lord, I accept you as my Savior. Save me. And He wants to have that relationship with you. He wants to be with you, to save you, to walk with you each day of your life. And let us just close in prayer, and then we're going to sing that song we started with, Just a Little Walk with Jesus. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word, Lord. Because it gives us the guidance for what we need in our lives, but also, Lord, it's a testimony to your power. And Lord, that we can pray to you, and even today, you desire to listen to us, you desire to hear us, you desire to get involved in our life, to save us, to watch over us, protect us. And Lord, there is so much evil in this world. It is not your desire, it is not your plan. But you do save many people, both physically, but for all who will come to you, there is a greater home in heaven waiting for us. So Lord, I pray that you would encourage our spirits, challenge our hearts, and strengthen our faith in you this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.